Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem us. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early in the morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said to all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, for the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks, broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he taught with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them and when he broke the bread." Amen. Describe the Christian life as a journey of faith. And as I've alluded to already, our faith can be tested on this journey. We can be weakened, we can be questioning our faith, we can be wondering what God is doing in the world today, but God does test us in our faith, not to see whether with a weak faith or an uncertain faith, but that we have a strong faith, a faith which is genuine in him. And on this journey of faith, there are different signposts. If you've ever been on a journey, of course you use sat navs now, I know. But gone are the days of the exciting journey when you'd get a map out and you'd look for signposts and directions to your destination. And often the journey was more exciting at times than the actual destination, particularly if you were going to Western Supermare. I nearly said Western Super Mud then, but you know what I mean. A nice place. We love it down there, as you did, Kath and Tony. So it's anyway, that's beside the point. But we're on this journey towards a destination, towards that goal of being with God in glory. And of course, we have these signposts. We have the Word of God. The Word is a lamp to my feet, the psalmist said, a light for my pathway. And we have the Spirit too, to guide us and to direct us through the Word of God. And I was thinking about that lovely old verse we find in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, where the Lord says, "This is the way, walk ye in it." You know, God has called us to walk in his way, to be his people, to be examples to a world that does not know him. And yet so often, when God calls us on this difficult road, it is a narrow road, but of course it does lead to life. It is difficult, and yet the rewards of walking with the Lord are far greater than what this world can offer. And sometimes as we set out on this journey of faith, we find that God's way is not our way. Sometimes we want the easy way, but he says, I want you to take the difficult road, that road that you will find difficult, where you will have to depend on me 100%. That is risky at times. But somebody once said that faith is risk, and that's the way I believe the Lord calls us. And so this journey that these two were making from Jerusalem, Cleopas is named here, but also his wife was with him. It was Mary, we understand. And they were on a journey, and they were disappointed, they were downcast, they were disheartened. And they were on this 7-mile journey northwest out of Jerusalem to a place called Emmaus, a place of the spring, I think it's called. They had a specific purpose to walk this way, because they'd heard everything about what Jesus had done, that he died on the cross, that he'd risen, but they hadn't got it. They didn't know the impact of what Jesus had done. And the Bible shows us something quite unusual, that their eyes were restrained. In verse 16 it says, but they were kept from recognizing him. There was Jesus, the risen Lord, walking with them, but they couldn't recognize him. They didn't know who Jesus was. And during this journey, Jesus shared the scriptures with them. Imagine walking for 7 miles or so, or up to 7 miles, listening to Jesus speaking the word from the prophets, from the early days, from the time of Moses and Abraham, right through, just convincing them of the prophecy of his arrival and what he is coming to do. And then, of course, when they broke bread, their eyes were open. So there's two things I want to mention this morning or leave with you. First of all, they didn't know that Jesus was walking with them. As I said already, Luke tells this story to help us on our journey of faith, because at times we can know the Lord is with us, but we don't feel his presence. We don't know his presence. He's with us, but we're not aware of it. I think it was Jacob, wasn't it, where we get that word Bethel. The Lord was in this place, but I didn't know it. And so often on our journey of faith, we can sense that God might well be with us, but we're not aware of it. Somehow the conditions of life, maybe we feel at times that life can be pretty heavy and difficult, and that somehow blinds our minds to the fact that the Lord is with us. And yet faith is absolutely essential in this day and age. You know, Paul said this, if we don't stand in our faith, we won't stand at all. And don't you think in the world that we're living in, where faith is being squeezed out, you know, people say that if it feels good, do it. In a society that seems to be hedonistic in its way of thinking, doesn't seem to have time for God, and yet somehow we are expected to walk this narrow road of faith, because that's the journey that God has called us to walk. It's a journey of faith. And there are signposts in God's word of where we are in our journey of faith any particular time. And we believe that the scriptures do tell us very clearly of the ages that we're living in, particularly as we view things that are happening in the wider world at the moment. And so we see here Jesus coming alongside these two. Isn't it amazing? We know that Jesus appeared, of course, to many when he was raised from the dead. But on this occasion, he comes to these two people. They weren't well-known disciples. They wouldn't have been with the disciples in the upper room. They were just perhaps second division, if you know what I mean. They weren't the premiership disciples. And yet Jesus comes alongside these two people. I want to encourage you this morning because it shows us that the Lord Jesus is concerned with ones and twos people. He loves to come alongside us individually. And he comes alongside us where we are on our journey, not only physically, not only psychologically, but also spiritually as well. He comes alongside to where we are. You see, they knew about Jesus, these two. They'd expected more from him. They expected him to be the Redeemer of Israel. But that wasn't what Jesus did at that time. And so they thought differently about who Jesus was. And I think this can happen in our lives, that we can expect Jesus to do things for us. We expect God to be there at times when we need him. And yet so often our eyes are dimmed by the circumstances of life and we just don't recognize him. You see, there are people that read the Bible. There are people that even attend church. There are people that talk the talk, but are not walking the walk. Jesus is alongside, but they don't know him. They haven't that personal relationship with him. I always felt it was quite humorous, the sayings of Donald Rumsfeld. He was the US Secretary of State of Defense. I think it was February 2002, when the Iraq war was in its height, and there was this debate on weapons of mass destruction, and he came out with these different sayings, and here's one of them. And if you can follow what I'm saying, then you're better than I am. And he said this: we know there are known unknowns. There are things we know we know. We also know there are known unknowns. That is to say, we know there are some things we don't know. The ones we don't know, we don't know. There is a meaning to that. But what the point is, there are known unknowns with Jesus. I think people get the wrong impression of Jesus. You know, often people in society think of Jesus meek and mild. He's got sandals and a long cloak on. He just goes around doing things for people that need some sort of crutch. But when we look at Revelation chapter 1, we see John, who had spent so much time with Jesus, overawed by the presence of the glorified Lord. He is the one who comes alongside us because he loves us. You know, when things go wrong in life, when we don't understand what's going on, there are none known unknowns about how Jesus will deal with it. And I was reminded just earlier this morning of this verse we find in Jude 3. It says this: dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to work I had to write to urge you to contend for the faith, to fight for the faith that was first entrusted to you. Don't you feel that that's where we're at today? We have to really hold fast to what we believe and for what we know is true, because the wind of this world, the age of the godless, does have a big impact on us and the church as a whole. So this story of the two on the Emmaus Road is a journey of discovery. It is a journey of faith. And as Jesus explained the scriptures, I think we read this from verse 25. In fact, he comes over very strong, and Jesus often does this at times when people don't get it. He said, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? At the beginning of Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. You see, Jesus didn't want them to experience him. Let me explain. There are lots of people that want to experience Jesus. There are lots of people that go to conferences to experience something of that collective togetherness. And of course, that is very important and it's great. But we never find Jesus personally through experiences. And we can experience things of God, but not experience him personally. You see, Jesus wanted these two to know him through what the word said about him. And that's how we come to know Jesus more and more, is through his words. Their eyes were open when he broke bread together, but that was after he shared the word to them about himself. How often the Bible is set aside for a newspaper or for a magazine, and yet we find out more and more about Jesus and through God and the Holy Spirit through his word. His word is a lamp and a light. We need to hold fast to what the Lord says about himself. And the more we learn about what the Lord says about himself, the more we learn about ourselves and about our knowledge and our walk with him. You see, these two were defeated. They were downcast. Their hope had gone, they thought. But now they'd realized that hope has been restored. Their eyes are open. They realize the resurrected Lord Jesus is alive, and Jesus has come to be with them. And instead of continuing on the Emmaus road, they turn back and go back to Jerusalem, full of joy, praising God and saying, "The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." And that's the road we're on, I believe. It is a different road. It's not a road of experience, but it's a road of knowing Jesus and him more and more. Knowing more about Jesus, knowing more of his spirit, knowing more of his love. Like these two on the Emmaus road said, were not our hearts burning inside of us? I think it was Jeremiah said he couldn't put the word down because the word was like fire in his heart. And I'm challenged by this, and I want to challenge you today. When you read this word, is your heart burning inside? Are you taking it to heart? Is it your guidebook? Is it your signpost? Is it our signpost as a church? We pray it is. Not what we say about God, but what God says about us is where we're at, because we need his word to guide us in the days to come. So let us keep our eyes open to him. Yes, the challenges of life, the difficulties, illness, disappointments will have their way in our lives, but we can keep our faith strong by abiding in his word. To open our eyes to not what we ask God for a blessing, but we bless what God is doing. That we find on this journey of life the signpost through his word of, yeah, this is the way, choose this way because this is the right way. It's a journey of faith. It's a journey that takes us into amazing places, full of joy, full of heart-throbbing stuff, because we find in him the perfect way. Paul says this of his personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's personal. I pray that that's our personal response as well, as we consider his death, his resurrection, and the hope of his coming again one day. We pray so. Let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Amen.